My name is Mike Buck. I was born in June of 1952, 17th day. My parents are Ben and Billy Buck. Well, I kind of grew up in a little bedroom community called River Oaks. It was north Fort Worth, northwest. Middle class, typical suburban teenager, you know, just. There were, I don't know, nothing really stands out. Just typical upbringing, playing music in my garage and listening to records and what have you, you know. My parents always had a lot of music around the house. My dad played a little bit. He played harmonica, which he picked up during World War II. He would entertain the French girls, he said, and play a harmonica and accordion. And like I said, I grew up around music. My mom was big into Western swing, Bob Wills and Milton Brown and the Brownies. She heard as a kid there in Fort Worth. My dad was from Iowa. Preteen, I was just fascinated by records and thought they had personality, and you know, just the more I started buying them and listening to them, and I just ended up with a pretty huge collection. Just my way of archiving the music. Throughout the 70s, I used to come to Austin fairly often. I had friends here. I was attracted to the music scene here because it seemed a lot more liberal and kind of bohemian than other parts of Texas, like Fort Worth and Dallas. It was kind of a redneck culture there, conservative culture, and it seemed like a lot of artists and musicians gravitated towards Austin during that time. But during that time, I started hearing Jimmy Vaughn's band, The Storm, and I was quite taken by them, felt kindred spirits with Jimmy and Keith Ferguson of the band. Had a similar band at Fort Worth, played with a blues man called Robert Ely, and we played the African-American clubs in Fort Worth and got to meet a lot of the people there, a lot of the musicians, U.P. Wilson and a guy named Catman Fleming. Just kind of started absorbing the blues. I came to Austin pretty often and sat in with Jimmy and his band, and when he formed a new band, the Thunderbirds, he gave me a call to see if I wanted to relocate to Austin to play with them. So I did, and I've been here ever since, pretty much. Played with the Thunderbirds about 3 years, then started a band called the Leroy Brothers after that, which I'm still with. I've always played drums. Had a few lessons, not really, mostly self-taught. A fellow named Logan Sword, like the sword, was a teacher whose main claim to fame is he was a contestant on the dating game back in the 70s. I can't remember if he won the date or not. But anyhow, I learned a few things from him, but mainly just from playing along with records and watching other performers. So mainly self-taught. Well, it's pretty much all based in rock and roll, which I guess my earliest and biggest influence was the Rolling Stones back when I was a kid. Of course, when the Beatles came along, it's been said that half the kids in America got either a guitar or a set of drums for Christmas of 1964, you know. So a lot of suburban bands were forming. And I was drawn to the Rolling Stones, and through them, learned more about their influences, Muddy Waters and a lot of the blues people. I guess Muddy Waters kind of set the template for the modern rock and roll band, two guitars, bass, and drums. And I don't know, and just became interested in more music as I went along, especially blues and country, which I kind of grew up around country music too in Fort Worth. And I love Mexican American music, Conjunto, and I like all sorts of music. Dabble a little bit in jazz, but mainly I'm just kind of a straight ahead rock and roll player, I guess. I played with Doug Somm's band for a while, toured with him quite a bit. He was always kind of a childhood hero to me anyway. And I always loved that he combined all sorts of music, of Texas music, Mexican music, blues, country, rock and roll. And he didn't seem to have any boundaries, and I always admired that. I played with him for a while, which was pretty thrilling. I had a band called the Naughty Ones, which was sort of a loungy band, kind of semi-jazz, crooner, Chet Baker, Frank Sinatra type stuff, with Ted Roddy. He was also in that band. I have started a band with my wife, Eve Monse, called Eve and the Exiles. We still play. It's kind of a combination of all the musics we like, mainly rock and roll and blues, I guess, you'd say. And I've been fortunate to play with a lot of my heroes over the years, people like Sam the Sham, and backed up a lot of blues players at Antone's over the years, Jimmy Rogers, Walter Horton, Luther Tucker, Hubert Sumlin. And I've been fortunate enough to play with a bunch of different people at this festival in New Orleans called the Ponderosa Stomp. We back up people like Billy Boy Arnold and rockabilly performers like Hewlin Duvall and Roy Head. I don't know, I've just been very fortunate to play with a lot of my heroes and people I like. I'd probably say from playing blues music, I learned restraint and, how to play what's called for and not overplay. I guess so. And that applies to pretty much everything I play, though. Well, excellence to me is not necessarily technical virtuosity. It's just if music affects me emotionally or just a gut feeling, that's how I judge it. If someone's obviously committed to the music and loves what they're doing, that takes precedence, in my opinion. Although I do appreciate virtuosity too, but that's a whole nother thing. Yeah, it's hard to say what the future of music is. I see some younger people coming along, playing in the traditions of blues and rock and roll traditions. My daughter has a successful punk rock band, and so playing basically the same stuff I was hearing back during the original punk era, but with their own twist and original music. So I think, there's always going to be the kids coming along who want to continue the tradition and draw from the tradition and add their own thing to it. So anytime I start getting discouraged by music, I notice, there's always something coming along. Again, it's hard to say if I would be the same musician if I'd come to Austin. I'd probably be playing basically the same type of music, but as I said before, music's such a magnet for talented and creative people. I think I've learned a lot just from being around people like that, and probably have a little different perspective than I would if I'd stayed in Fort Worth. Although I think I love Fort Worth, I think it's a very soulful town. Being part of the music community here, I would say, is helpful. Musicians here look out for each other. It doesn't seem to be a lot of competition. Someone has a problem, everyone gathers to to help them, have it, whether it be a benefit or whatever. So I think it's been a very positive thing. And I think the music community in Austin is very positive. When I first moved to Austin, the Thunderbirds played at the Rome Inn, which was, it's where Texas French Bread is now, 29th Street. It's kind of our home base. It was always very fun scene there. We played every Monday, and it built up more and more. At one point, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top was bringing a busload of people from Houston in every Monday. So that was a very exciting place to play. We also were the house band at Antone's, which was, in those days, you know, blues music wasn't very, very popular. We played to a lot of small crowds there, but we did get to play with people, as I said earlier, Jimmy Rogers and, you know, Muddy Waters and Lightnin' Hopkins. So Antone's is definitely a big one for me. Continental Club, I love. It's probably my favorite venue in Austin. Play there. Not as often as I would like anymore, but still play there some. We play the Evangeline Cafe in South Austin, which is a very fun gig for the Even the Exiles. The old Austex Lounge, which was run by Steve Dean, was very important in the Austin music scene in the 70s and 80s. Can't really think of any downsides to any of these clubs. I kind of don't tend to think about that too much, just the positive. Been a lot of memorable things over the years, I guess. But I remember the Leroy Brothers were playing in Finland one time. We played a gig in Helsinki the night before and had to go to another gig and somewhere in remote Finland, which was about a 10-hour drive from there. So we're up at 5 the next morning after, you know, being out all night playing. And a bus picked us up, and there were two Finnish hard rock bands and there with us who had obviously been up. They hadn't been to bed. They'd been drinking all night and crazy. And so it was like this crazy bus ride for throughout these icy roads and, you know, with these, you know, maniacs in the bus with us. We got to the venue, and it was like kind of in the middle of nowhere. It was like a Quonset hut. There's no cars around. Really didn't seem like there was, you know, no houses, no buildings, anything. Then, so we went in, set up, and about an hour later, people started showing up, like on skis and, you know, different, you know, some cars and stuff. But, you know, it turned out to be a good gig. But the other two bands had kind of deteriorated through the day. They continued drinking, and by the time of the gig, one of the bands got in a fight, and I think the singer bit the bass player's thumb off. So the police showed up, and, you know, they had to go to the hospital. Then we had to drive back after the gig, you know, 10 hours. And our driver was very fatigued, and as I said, it was icy, curvy roads. So that was quite a bit of a scary experience, but memorable. Well, I remember playing with Lightnin' Hopkins here in Austin at it was an African-American rodeo at Maynard Downs. And again, another hero of mine, Lightnin' Hopkins. I don't know, it was just the whole event, it just seemed so soulful, just these, you know, black cowboys and, you know, Lightnin', who's kind of from that rural tradition too, you know, kind of a black cowboy blues man, country blues man. So I don't know, I remember that gig pretty well. And he's pretty notorious for being hard on his drummers, but he didn't yell at me, so I figured I did okay. So yeah, 709. Yeah, it's the Uranium Savages, Carry On and all the crew there. They're not sure the exact significance of the number, but I know that's their number.